Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Action Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Right.
At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundation of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and focus precisely on how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple actions. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step three. Please welcome our panel this evening, Liz and Mark. I will read the first paragraph on page 60, and the panel will share a few minutes on each of the readings. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Page 60. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. C, that God and could and would if he were saw. I believe.
Liz, yes, I think I'm up. Hello, my name's Liz and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Liz.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the panel and to serve. Thank you for asking me, Amy. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic. The book does a great job at describing who I was or who I am. And it also describes, although I didn't realize it at the time, describes how I was about God. When I came into the rooms, I thought, you know, growing up Episcopalian, I was all good with the God thing. Well, I turned my back again away from God and just kind of started running my life on my own will. I was, as they call in the 12 and 12, the bewildered one. You know, these last three, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. I've heard many people share in a meeting that's kind of like saying, I can't, that probably no human power could relieve our alcoholism. That's saying God can, and C, could and would if he were Saul. Maybe I should let him try. That's, I've heard that by many old timers and all of that. It's always stuck with me. It's, you know, step one, two, and three, simple. When I came into these rooms, I came in via incarceration. I detoxed with a turtle suit on. So obviously I couldn't. And at one point, my heart was so elevated. My heart rate was so elevated. I thought my heart was going to jump out of my chest. And I asked God, I think I was on my knees at the point, I don't know, to make this all stop and I'll do anything you ask. And that was in the Virginia Beach jail. And so I've had to live up to that. And so I try to do what God directs me to. And, you know, I was one of these that, well, I'll try to get sober just so you'll get off my butt. I wasn't one that was going to try to get sober. I came in Alcoholics Anonymous 3 times to get a paper signed. And probably because I wasn't smart enough to sign the paper myself. And I actually, on my first DUI, I actually faxed it back to ASAP. So I could have signed anything. But I didn't want it at that point. And I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the incarceration. But with incarceration comes a huge amount of willingness. And once I got sober and started feeling better, I'm like, I think the sobriety thing may work. And, you know, part C, God could and would if he were sought. I thought I had sought God when I was a newcomer. And it really took me until I went back to serve my time after I had about 8.5 months of sobriety and had supposedly worked the steps. It took my experience in jail. If I went to self, boy, that clock went slow. If I tried to help others there, tried to get out of self, tried to do the next right thing, that clock went a little bit faster. And I started noticing that. And then I was fortunate enough to have the books, have the 12 and 12, the big book, Emotional Sobriety, the whole gambit. One of my family members is also in the program. And she kept me full of recovery books. And I read them through and through. And even read the Bible. There's some really good stuff in the Bible. There's some really messed up stuff in the Bible, but there's some really good stuff. And I think I'll shut up now and let Mark go. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Liz. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Mark.
Let's see, housekeeping stuff. My sobriety date is November 24th, 2015. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I sponsor people. My home group is Candlelight. It meets Friday night, 8 p.m., 1301 Colley Avenue. Talking about step 3. But to get me here, I got to go. I drank for a long time. And that long time, you know, was fun, 20 years of it, at least fun. Regardless of whatever adventure or misadventure I got into, it was fun. Then the next 10 years were just miserable. You know, the misadventures kept coming along, but I kept drinking because maybe the fun would come back. And then the last 5 years of that drinking was just hopeless. And for me, that hopeless showed up in this way. Every day, at a minimum, I got a half gallon of brandy in me. Whenever I'm coming home or going, you know, coming to for the last time of the day or night, before I could go upstairs, I had to make that last drink. I simply could not go up them stairs without the last drink. Now, as a result of my drinking, I had a bunch of health issues. And so I've taken a bunch of pills. One of those pills was, you know, something my doctor gave me to help me sleep, because I'm like, I can't sleep. As an alcoholic, I'm passing out, coming to. So I go upstairs to that last drink in that handful of pills, and I throw them down, and I take, you know, with that drink, and I go, it'd be nice if I didn't wake up in the morning. And I did that for 5 years before I finally sought help, right? But that was hopeless for me. You know, however it works out for you is for you. But what I did not have in my life was any kind of God, because in my mind, God and religion are the same thing. Up until when I came in here. And I've got an issue with religion till this day, right? But in this fellowship, the good, great people in this fellowship helped me separate the idea that this is not a religious program, it is a spiritual program, and that God and religion are two totally different things. And that works for me in my head. It allows me to keep moving forward. Now how I came in the fellowship, well, let me back up. I spent the majority of my life as an atheist until 2012. And in 2012, I was working a project in East St. Louis. It was a Wednesday night. I'd finished the day, and I was sitting at the hotel bar drinking my dinner, watching the news. And so people went into church on a Wednesday night and robbed the people during church service. It was on the news. And I pushed back from the bar, and I said, God's going to get you guys. And then I'm like, well, where'd that come from? I don't believe in God. But I had time to think about that. And I came to understand at that point in time that I'm not truly atheist. I just don't care. God stay on his side of the street. I stay on my side of the street. We ain't got a ball with each other. For me, that was a perfect attitude for me to come into SARP, to the fellowship with, because I was no longer fighting it. I was no longer fighting it, and nobody here tried to tell me religion. They said, pick whatever God you want. And my first choice was the Flying Spaghetti Monster. That was my choice. I might have did that at a shock value, or I might have did it because I believed it. I don't know. But that's what I did for, you know, a couple of weeks. And then I settled into the higher power thing, because, you know, you told me I could say higher power. And then over time, I've come to where I can say God. I can't always say that I'm saying it comfortably, but it's easier to say now than it was, you know, 7 years ago, right? So where was I at? Well, that's how I came to, you know, start believing in a God and his fellowship. The great thing about the fellowship, though, is in the beginning for me, my first sponsor, I went to meetings with him, and it was a bunch of old timers, and it was all book study. Set Friday was my only like open discussion meeting. Everything else was book study. And so I really got into the books, and I listened to a bunch of people talk about a spiritual program and talk about recovery in this spiritual program. And that you know, enabled me to just grow in this fellowship. When that first sponsor passed away, a new sponsor, he talked about the book and recovery, right? And he also likes to tell me meditation is a way I connect my head to my heart, which is where God resides for me. Maybe you too. I'll shut up and let the next question come.
All right, continuing on page 60. Being convinced, we were at step 3, that we decide to turn our will and our life over to care as God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. Even though our motives are good, most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may even be egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Mark?
Okay, so let me clarify something. I said it's not always comfortable for me saying God. That comes in the sense that when I talk about that outside of these rooms, people automatically assume religion and they want to talk Bible. And that's just not something I want to do. And so I try and avoid that at all costs, because in the past, that led to good arguments for me, right? Because I enjoyed debating the Bible. Not that I really read it. I just read parts of it so I could argue about it.
You read the good part.
So made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understand. You know, for a while, I thought about what is you know, my will, our will. And it's just my thinking. And then, it goes further to tell me that, you know, I've tried to live my life on self-will, my own thinking, because I am selfish. I'm self-centered. I am the most right person on the planet. And if I don't know it, I'm going to go get a book and Google it or whatever and study it so I can talk to you about it. Right? It's just my nature, or was my nature. I try not to be that way now. But once I decided that, once I learned that I had to turn my life over, turn my will over to this God, that just meant, you know, I'm going to start praying and start meditating. And for a guy like me, the people who wrote this book, Bill and his cohorts, I think they had a little bit of issues with the God thing as well. And so they wrote the book in a way that a guy like me can accept it. Because when you look at step 2, it says power greater than yourself, right? They didn't say God. And in step 3, they say God, but then they quickly qualify as you understand it. So it allows a guy like me who's stubborn about, you know, this religion thing to ease into this fellowship, right? And then the spiritual part starts developing because they wrote down prayers in the book. People in the rooms gave suggestions on what prayers could be. And I used to think, you know, prayers just had to be this this eloquent thing. And sometimes it's just simple as thank you, right? That's a prayer. You know, sometimes mine is, God, I'm getting up now, and I could use some guidance for the day. That's some of the days of when I'm getting up late and running, trying to get out the house. What else do we cover here? I'll shut up. I'll let you go, Liz.
Thank you. All right, housekeeping on my behalf. I didn't do that beforehand. I have a sponsor, and she knows she's definitely. and I have a home group, Get Women's Big Book, meets upstairs in the library. All you ladies, come check. I'm a trained engineer. So, of course, I like to arrange things the way I want to. I've been told by certain people that I do things with intent all the time, that I even sleep with intent. And, you know, it's funny. I'm an electrical engineer. And of course, they talk about electricity in the big book and in the 12 and 12 and all that, saying we don't know how electricity works. Well, I do. So maybe, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was just kind of funny when we got to that with when I was reading that with our first sponsor. I was like, let me tell you how it works. He's like, no, let's just keep on reading. I was one of these people, and I'm still one of these people that like to arrange things. When I was drinking, and still drinking and having fun at drinking, I was the major instigator. I plan parties. I plan things. I like to be a planner. Part of my job at Sprint was strategic planning. So this whole thing about wanting to run the show, yes, I have to. I can do that at work. I can't run the show in my life. I can't. And with this step is this part of it is, you know, and especially this part that says he may be kind, considerate, patient, and generous, or even modest or self-sacrificing. I'll be nice to you, but I want something in return. I want something, and I want it now too. And I was so good at running the show that I got 3 DUIs, 2 of them within 5 days. And I wasn't really running the show very well from jail. And when this whole concept of let's turn it over to God, you know, it's a struggle sometimes. And sometimes I've gone through spells of unemployment to where, you know, I'm not going to find a job at 2 a.m. and anywhere. So maybe I ought to leave it over to God for that night. Maybe I ought to take it up again when I have the power to do something. It's the serenity prayer. Knowing the wisdom to know the difference. And sometimes, you know, as Mark said, sometimes I try to pray. And sometimes my prayer is, please don't let me be a shithead today. And please help me help somebody else today. And that's all I got. And some days I'll read quite a few. And it's, you know, it's just it's constant work here, because when I get up, I go straight into self-centeredness and straight into, I want to run the show. And that's where having a good morning ritual of just sitting down and reading the book or reading the daily reflections or just sitting down and trying to stay quiet, turn off the TV, get away from my phone. I actually read the daily reflections, not on my phone anymore. I have the book now and try to stay away from the electronics and stuff, because, you know, also on that phone, I'll look at the daily reflections. Oh, what's on Facebook? Oh, what's on this? What's on this? And by that time I'm whatever, or what's on the news and all that. And it's just quieting the mind for a bit. And I do believe and what it says in the 11th step, I do plan my day somewhat. I think of my day, but if something goes awry, I don't get bent out of shape about it, or at least I try not to. And I have to remember, have patience with others, try to look at things through their eyes versus mine. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. All right, continue reading on page 62, favorite part, selfishness and self-centeredness. That, we think, is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selflessness. We must, or it kills us. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing it or trying it on our own power. We had to have God's help. Liz?
I was driven by, initially, when I came in, a lot of self-pity. And I struggle with self-will versus being true to self. I'm a trans woman. And me being trans, I questioned at first, is that self-will or is that being true to myself? And came to the conclusion that I was of no use to anyone because I would sit in meetings when I first came in the rooms and I couldn't lay it all out there. I couldn't share from my heart. And after working with my sponsor about it, my sponsor was, he was no LGBT ally or anything like that. He said, just be true to yourself. You know, some people may not like it. You'll find other friends that will. And he was right. But my troubles with alcohol were basically of my own making. My troubles, my resentments, all of that were all triggered by my fears. And I was running my life towards the end. Itself will run riot. When I was drinking, I would have these conversations in my head. Well, I'll say this, they'll say that, I'll say this, they'll say that. And it was like on and on for hours. It was true insanity. And of course, nothing ever came to fruition. I had gone into debt a little bit to my ex, and I had this big spreadsheet. Of course, I'm an engineer, so everything, if it can't be done in Excel, it can't be done. So of course it's in Excel. And she'll do this, and there was something about taxes, and I shouldn't have to pay this taxes and all this stuff. And Max and I got in a big fight about it. And he said, I bet you made a big spreadsheet about that. I used to do that stuff when I was drunk too, about how much my ex owed me and yada, 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 and all of that stuff. Why don't you just pay her the money so she'll shut up and do the next right thing. She helped you out. And I did that. And, it was like, then I didn't carry any of that anymore. I didn't carry the resentments. I do carry a lot more resentments, but we're not talking about step four right now, so I'll leave that alone. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
So the first requirement is that we be convinced any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. To me, that's telling me I got to quit playing God. And if I'm selfish and I'm self-centered and all I think about is me, possibly these fears things, then I'm playing God. And that's it comes down to, I got to run the life of my wife or three ex-wives or the children and the grandchildren. And when I was in the Navy, I had to run, the lives of all the people that worked for me at the time. And then when my son turned into an alcoholic, when he turned 18, I had to, try and run his life, but, trying to run an alcoholic's life is not a thing that can be accomplished. And so then I spent time trying to convince him to stop. I spent time trying to scare him into stopping. And then I finally went and got a life insurance policy and said, if you don't stop drinking, you're going to die before you turn 30. Right. And I got the money to bury Wade, that policy in his face. 2 days before he turned 30, he passed away. And people had to console me because I was convinced that I had dictated exactly when he was going to die. 2 days before he turned 30, he died from this disease. Everybody thought when he fell down the stairs that he broke his neck, but his body was in such bad condition that when he hit the floor, it sent his heart into some kind of whatever shock, and his heart didn't survive the impact of him falling. But I'm sitting there on my porch, oh, poor me, because, you know, I have dictated the death of my child, right? I don't know about y'all, but, you know, two people had to come to me and say, you're not God. You can't do something like that. But I was convinced that I had just done that, right? That's how deeply I thought how smart I thought I was and how much I controlled things in my world, right? But that's selfish and self-centered and still thinking about me. I was trying to get him to stop for me, not him, right? So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. Well, if I'm trying to run the life of everybody, that's a lot of pressure on somebody. That is an incredible amount of pressure. When you got, you know, 50 sailors working for you at a given time, you're trying to run the lives of, you know, people who personally connected to you. Man, when I finally got it through my thick skull that I am not God, that I cannot exact these things from these people, you know, it was like a weight was lifted off me, you know, a weight that I didn't know was on me, but I felt it come off me. And I've had that happen to me twice in the fellowship. You know, the first time was when I actually checked in the Navy rehab. After about 3 days there, I start crying. I'm like 50 years old with a bunch of kids walking around bawling all day long, half the night. And when I finally can't figure it out on my own, because I'm smart, I'm going to figure it out on my own, I finally go to my group counselors and I tell them, walk around crying. I don't know why. I know you see me in this group. And the guy's like, you know, get a pencil and paper and write about it. And I'm like, if I knew what the hell it was, I wouldn't be standing before you. But I had nothing else to do. So I got paper and pencil, and I wrote like a 3-page letter to my son. When it was all over with, I was through crying. And that's the first time I felt weight lifted off him, because one, I didn't properly mourn him, right? Because I didn't have any religious or God thing to fall back on to make that happen, right? It was just, you're supposed to do a funeral, and that's what I did, right? And then once the funeral's over with, it's time to go get drunk in the backyard, and that's what I did, right? That's how I got through it. So I didn't mourn him properly, and that was finally what I did when I was no longer soaked in alcohol, when all that alcohol was out of me, and those feelings finally bubbled up that had been, you know, put down for so long, because he passed away in 2012, and this is a late 2015 when I was in SART. And that's the first time I felt weights lifted off me, again, that I did not know were on me. And so what I try and do nowadays is not run people's lives. The book tells me that I'm just to fit myself to be of service to God and the people around me. Life is easier when I'm just trying to be of service to you versus trying to run your life. My sister's lived up here since I brought her up here when she was like 16. And I've tried to run her life the whole time until I got into the fellowship. And most of the time, she didn't listen to a damn thing I said, right? Most of the time, it backfired on her, but still, irrelevant. But now when I suggest things to her, she listens. And I don't suggest and wait for acknowledgement. I'm like, this is what I try. You should try this. And I leave it alone. And then, you know, now she comes back and tells me, hey, you were right. I tried this. I'm like, why are you listening to me now? She's like, you're a different person now. All right. Mm-hmm. I can hear you now instead of me trying to dictate something to her. All right. I'm good.
This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. And we are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was keystone of the new and triumphant arc through which we passed to freedom.
That's it. So me, yeah. I think everything I just talked about is that. So I'll start at the last sentence there. Keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. So the third step is that arch is built, right? You know, you had the cornerstone and the keystone arch is built. And that's taken us through, you know, 4 through 12, right? So I sit back and think, though, all the steps, right, are not designed, as I see it, to stop me from drinking or to get me to stop drinking, right? The first step is where I acknowledge that I got a problem with something. The next two is I come to acknowledge that there's something bigger than me out there and I'm willing to turn my life over there, right? 4, I'm looking at myself. 5, I'm talking to somebody about what I found there. You know, 6, I get ready to ask God to do something. 7, I say, God, do something for me, please. Right? Make a list, go make right with people. Look at myself in 10, look at myself and meditate in 11. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right? The 12th step says that I've had a spiritual awakening, right? Doesn't say I don't drink anymore. As a result of a spiritual awakening, I don't drink anymore. The spiritual awakening is that I've come into contact with a God that I can depend upon on a daily basis, regardless of what's going on in my world. That's a new thing. I mean, you know, 7 years old, but it's still an entirely new thing to somebody who's in their 50s, right? Somebody who thought I didn't need anything like that, who turned their nose up at all that stuff. These steps had brought me into contact with a God that just, in the book, it says, solves all your problems. And I don't have to be the person to solve all my problems or all your problems for that matter. All I can do for you is offer a way to do that through this book and these steps, right? And as a result of that, I come into these rooms as an angry, evil man, right? I didn't smile, I didn't laugh. And I do these steps, I come into contact with a God that helps me resolve all this stuff. And I find happiness and I find peace and I find freedom. And that peace and serenity is the thing I value the most in this fellowship, right? I'm glad I don't drink. I'm glad I don't have the urge to drink. But that peace and serenity that I attain on a daily basis is what I value the most. Because without that, then I go back to being angry about stuff that's really irrelevant in the whole scheme of things, right? But it is, again, me working to develop that relationship through prayer and meditation so that I can maintain the life that I have today, again, through the fellowship of this organization, the people in these rooms and the God that I do business with. Thanks.
Liz, again, alcoholic. When I think about, first of all, I have to quit playing God. What does that mean to me? I need to quit, as they say, running the show. I need to remember, based on some of my inventory work, what are fears that are not real and what, you know, is something that I need to deal with. And one of my biggest fears is the fear of economic insecurity, because I've experienced some of it. But it is a fear. It's not the economic insecurity. I can pay my rent every month. And when I get those fears, that's when I start wanting to do it my way. And knowing that if I can just turn that fear over to God, that it will go away. It may come back. And I think about this, you know, submission versus surrender when I think about the third step. And I have to surrender. Submit kind of implies submitting to someone else. Surrender is surrendering my control. I don't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. God was going to be our director. Then knowing what God wants me to do at all times is difficult. And I have to get out of the fear first before I can even get anywhere near that. You know, he is the Father. You know, it's again, this book is written by men for men. So, you know, my God of my understanding is a bit different, but it's the same as a father. You know, I love the fact that they use these analogies to keystone, cornerstone, all of that, you know, their architectural things. This third step is the keystone because it gets us to the fourth through the ninth step, which is where the miracles happen. And there was a dear person that just recently passed a couple of months ago who said the key to the third step was doing the fourth and the ninth step and repeating it. Taking inventory when you were resentful, figuring out what defects those were. And then when you were wrong, making quick amends. I try to do that in my daily actions. I don't always do that. And sometimes I have to get down with a pencil and a piece of paper. Nothing better than a good old inventory written. And, you know, I'll find myself doing that often on things that, you know, I look at resentments as something that keeps me up at night. When I'm up at night, yeah, better get that pencil and paper out and better start praying. And this, you know, at this point in the steps, opening up to an idea that someone else can remove your defects of character is how I feel the third step integrates into the fourth through the ninth. But that requires me to realize that I'm not God and don't run on fears. Because when I run on fears, it's all about me and all about, you know, what am I going to do? What's my next move? What's my next move? What's my next move? I get into this. I'll do this. They'll do that. I'll do this. They'll do that. It's that same old drunken thought that I used to have. And why don't I just do the next right thing and see what God has in store? Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks.
Thank you. Page 63. We were now at step three. Many of us said to our maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to them. So do
the third step prayer. When I sponsor somebody, you know, a lot of the women that I sponsor are younger. They don't always care for how the book is written. So I ask them in an exercise sometimes to rewrite this in your own words. But it's good to know it in the words of the book. God, I offer myself to thee. That means I need to believe in you first. Build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. That means I have the faith. And I think the third step is the faith step, if I'm not mistaken. There's a board at the VBRC that has a word by each one of them. And that means I need to have faith in God, that God will not lead me astray. Relieve me of bondage of self. What does bondage of self look like? It looks like me running from fear. Fear of acceptance, fear of economic insecurity. The fears are what lead me to self, that I may do thy will. If I can get rid of the fears, I can do God's will pretty easily. Take away the difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, thy power, thy love, thy way of life. Shit, that means to me, those that I would help share my experiences and strengths and hope of how I've used God in my life to overcome my difficulties. I spent 6.5 months in jail and managed not to get in any fights or anything like that. I had to go to male jail, and I was in the middle of transitioning, and there were some times that I was fearful of my safety. And that's when turning it over to God, God will not lead me astray. And sometimes that meant for me to shut my big mouth and stay in my own lane. And if you stay in your own lane in jail, you typically stay out of trouble. Now, when I start trying to get in the middle of everybody's stuff, that's when I get into trouble. And I still do that to this day. And I have to step back when I'm doing that. I've learned some lessons here recently. The deal with AA service, to where I need to step back sometimes. Let others do something. Let others serve. And that has taken away my difficulties. Because I wanted, it was selfishness. It was, I wanted the acceptance. The fear of acceptance was at the root of that, or the fear of lack of acceptance, that is. May I do thy will always? I don't. This is progress, not perfection. I try. We thought well before taking this step to make sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves to utterly to him. But when I first took this step, I didn't think too much about it. I just went along with my first sponsor and said, okay, I can try. But I had the willingness to try, and I had the willingness to keep learning, and I had the willingness to go, you know, when things weren't working out, to find another sponsor and to listen to her. I don't like what she has to say to me all the time, but I have to be willing to listen. And I listen to you guys. Sometimes I don't like what you all are saying. But I need to listen. I need to stay open-minded. You know, I look at God as, you guys have are the faces of God. And I need to listen. And sometimes I need to shut up and get out of the way. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks. As we felt new power flow in us, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. We were reborn. Then step three, prayer, is God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may do better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. First, I was reborn in this fellowship. I had been reborn in this fellowship, not in a religious sense, but in an AA sense, which is good for me. I wish I could say that I know this prayer by heart. I'm in awe of the people who have, can say it from memory. I cannot. I got a 3x5 card I pick up every night that I read from. But part of this prayer is saying, I'm turning myself over to do these things for God, right? Or with God. That means I have faith that, you know, these things are going to work out right, right? But to me, you got to go a little bit further on that, because faith is great, but you got to have trust, because it's easy to have faith that things are going to go all right while the world is going normal for you when nothing hiccups. But when the hiccup occurs, do I try and go back in charge and take care of it? Or do I trust that everything's going to work out according to, you know, what God has in store for me? I've come to believe in this fellowship that, you know, nothing happens by accident. It may not be what I like, but, you know, it's all God's will, right? I take that and believe that. And so I have trust in it. Somebody once said the wheelbarrow story. You guys heard the wheelbarrow story? The guy pushes a wheelbarrow across the high wire. And you watch him do it, you know he can do it, you got faith in it because you've seen him do it, right? Trust is getting in the wheelbarrow and letting him push you across that high wire, right? That's the difference there. And I try and work on a daily basis that I have trust and not take back control of my life when things are going crazy. And, you know, things do go crazy sometimes. I call my sponsor and talk about it, and he generally tells me I'm wrong. I should try to do something else, but it's not always easy. But I realize that if I go back, and I'll tell you all now, I desperately, desperately trying to avoid my old ideas and attitudes, right? Even the simple ones, because to me, if I accept a simple transgression, no big deal. Do I accept the next one? How many do I accept before I say, well, maybe a drink is good? I don't know. That might be crazy thinking, but I'd rather keep thinking that way and avoid taking that drink by having faith in God and avoiding, you know, all those things that could take me away from doing the things that are asking me to third step prayer, which is to do God's will, right? Again, I've already said it, you know, if I don't know what to do, try and be of service to you, fit myself to be of service to God, try and be of service to people, right? I don't have to figure it out. I just got to go, how can I help? And when I do that, life is just easier for me nowadays. I mean, walking around trying to solve the world's problems is exhausting. And I just don't have time for it no more. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing.
Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is personal house cleaning, to be continued next step four, part one. So let's give Liz and Mark a round of applause. Hey, you can sign up for emails again on our website at simpleactions.net. We're going to be passing around some seventh tradition baskets. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that that not only their group, but also the intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general services office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Far back.
My home group, the West End group, our anniversary meeting. Food starts at 6:30. It's going to be live. Food, if you like, it's on the side.
I'm Mark, alcoholic. If you don't have anywhere to be for July 4th, the Easy Does It Club is doing their annual July 4th cookout. So that'll be after the noon meeting. The other thing is, as a member of our fellowship passed away, people generally call him Lil Bill, but Bill Burgess, he passed away recently. They're going to do his memorial at the Easy Does It Club on the 15th, July 15th. I think that's this Saturday.
Next Saturday.
All right, I think it's like 3:00, but check with me later. I might get a definite time for you. Thanks.
Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested. Please.
I'm an alcoholic named David.
Hey, David.
That's the first I heard of Bill, like a ton of bricks. This home group, Simple Actions group, we're having a workshop on July 26th. Over on that table, you'll see some canary yellow flyers. What would be really great is if you would take some with you when you walk out of here tonight, take them back in your group, help us get the word out. It's going to be on the Zoom.
The Zoom machine.
Not Zoom, the Zoom, because I'm old. On July 26th, 6:30 p.m., we're going to have three panelists, Chris Wells, Christy Ellis, and our own David Hall from Virginia Beach. And the topic is going to be safety in Alcoholics Anonymous. Kind of the discussion is going to be kind of around home group, safety in a home group. So it's free. It's open to everybody on the Zoom. Details are on the flyers. Thank you guys for driving on the way out. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
The canary flyer.
Canary.
All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or need a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. The literature table is over there. Please see myself after the meeting if you would like to purchase a book. If you don't have money and would like a book, just come see me. We'll work something out. If you can fold it, you can take it. Reminder, smokers, please use the buck can provided outside. Still stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. The meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship. The meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella, Colonial Ave, across from Bank of America near Cogan's. And in closing, again, let's thank Liz and Mark. Participated after the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to say thank you. Grant has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. Thanks for reading. All right, let's make a circle from the close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever.
Amen. And if anyone wants to help, you can fill out.